Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 141st episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include from Season 21 of The Voice, from Team Blake, we've got Jonathan Mouton, from Team Legend, Paris Winningham, from Team Ariana, Riley Plank, and also from Season 3 of BET's The Family Business, we'll have actor and friend of the show Ernie Hudson, and we'll have singer and actress Macy Gray. She'll be hosting My Good's second annual Bingo Bash this Friday. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and of course, share with your friends. Now, are you someone who mutters under your breath when a teenager comes to your home trick-or-treating? Well, a new survey asked people what age kids become too old for trick-or-treating. And 12 was the most popular age with 12% of the vote. 13 was next, followed by 14, 15, and 16. Now, 5% thought that kids were too old at 10, which seems a little hardcore. Now, 26% of people said that they don't think kids should ever be considered too old for trick-or-treating, which was the most popular response by far. Although, let's admit, it's easier to feel festive about older teens making the rounds if they put some effort into their costumes. Now, on the other side of the door, 61% of people said they'll hand out candy. 21% said they'll pretend to not be home. 10% don't know what they're doing yet. And 2% of cold people said they'll answer the door but will shoo trick-or-treaters away without giving them anything. As Season 21 of The Voice continues on, and one of my favorite voices out there now been stolen by Team Blake, we've got Jonathan Mouton on with us. And Jonathan, first off, thank you so much for taking the time, brother.
Such a humbling introduction, Cameron. Thank you. That means the world to me. I thank you for your time and for that kind intro.
Well, you're one of the ones that I've been able to follow probably more than some of the others just because of the timing of the episode. So you got good timing. I'll give you that first off. But tell us where music came from for you. If folks haven't been watching the episodes yet, where music is for you in your life and why it has such a vital grip on your life as well.
Absolutely, brother. I like to say that, it's artistically, sonically, I am bridging the gap between the Motown and just the soul and pop of yesteryear and bringing it today, which is indicative of why I chose a song like Leave the Door Open for My Blind by Silk Sonic. You know, it has those types of vibes. For me, growing up as a kid in L.A. and a kid of the arts, I was very fortunate to be grown up, to grow up in a household to a mother who sang background in her day behind Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, mentored by Aretha Franklin. So I was in the early 90s, her baby in the musical sense as well, where she was pouring everything that her craft into me and kind of already laying the groundwork for me to kind of carry the torch and the legacy. So I always joke, and a lot of friends know this, a lot of the records that you would think, I listened to those in the 60s or 70s, like the Four Tops or, the Temptations. We're listening to on vinyl in my household in the early 90s, and I'm thinking as a kid that these are the songs and these are the artists that are hot right now, which is so full circle for me even in my artistry today, because that timelessness of that music and those that art is just still so relevant and so hot today, it influences so many. So yeah, I had the privilege of watching my mom work at a young age and seeing her passion, her work ethic, her determination for her craft, but yet still doing it in a way at this point where she's raising us and we're at the forefront of her life. So yeah, man, music is everything to me. And even today with how I approach my artistry and my songwriting, it is something that I just I feel like is my purpose. It fulfills me like no other.
Now, you talked about the battle round. We talked about the blinds doing Silk Sonic and getting the chairs turned around for you. I mean, what does that mean for you on a personal level? I mean, I know that seeing those chairs turn has to bring something up in your mind. What did that bring to your heart?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm a fan of music and of the art, but I'm a fan of those artists, So as a fan, just on a fundamental level of being a fan, what that means in terms of, to me, is like, I would meet these artists or want to meet these artists backstage at their show, or a meet and greet at their show, or I'd want just 5 minutes to talk to that artist and pick their brain on their artistry. So let alone having the once in a life. I mean, I can't go to an Ariana show and say, hey, all right, let me sing to you. Hey, John, can I sing? Can I do a sound check with your band? I mean, you know, that's not going to happen. So, you know, so with that being said, you know, I'm up there singing and it's this moment. I mean, it's a pressure cooker, the voice. And I mean that in the most positive sense, but it is a competition. It is you on your mark. You're hitting, you know, on your P's and Q's to make sure that you can give your best and kind of just let all the rest fall by, you know, at play. But, you know, so I'm not up there singing for a chair to turn, but all of us artists would be lying to your face and your voice if we said that we don't want a chair to turn. But it really is a psychological thing where you have to kind of separate it, because you're saying, hey, because there have been instances where people have overperformed. You're wanting to step on that stage and just be your unique self and give of yourself. And it's not just about, let me show you everything that I can do in a minute and a half. It's about, hey, let me show you my artistry. So, yeah, man, I mean, and getting those chair turns can be very distracting. You know, I tell you a little secret. This is just the exclusive. You heard it here first. on set, it looks, or on TV, it looks like the chairs turn immediately. On set, in real time, they do turn, but they don't. it's a lot going on when you're watching them turn, because you're like, wait. And then you want to step outside of yourself, like, is he turning around for me? Is she turning for me? So, yeah.
Coming on to The Voice after all that you've been through in life, I mean, after all we've been through in these last couple of years, to be able to show the hope that you have in your heart after life happening to you, to not let the music die, I mean, to be able to inspire others musically, what does that mean to you?
It means it's such a full circle moment, because it really... One of the lessons I learned during going through and I joke with my friends, you know, my 2020 was 2014 when I was battling for my life, you know? So with that being said, and not to say that 2020 wasn't all the more just as difficult. I mean, it was rough on all of us, and collectively we kind of came together in a way that mm-hmm. I feel like has bonded us since, you know, and since September 11th, I mean, on a worldview. You know, one of the greatest lessons I learned during, you know, my journey with cancer, stage four cancer, was just compassion and for others, and realizing that not just my life, but everyone's life and a journey and existence in this space and time is a gift. And so a lot of the things that we worry about and stress out about, and that still bother me today, I am able to kind of center myself and say, hey, it's not cancer. It's not rocket science. It can be beat. And I got to just relish in the moment and really have live with intention. So, yeah, man, and that pours into my art. That pours into the expediency of me wanting to share my story, but then also just be a vessel of light for others, and just know that everybody's going to be about to begin or in the midst of or coming out of some type of a trial or journey. So just kind of meeting people where they're at.
That is great stuff. And Jonathan, I always want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can keep up with you social media wise as the next round of voting comes for you as well, sir.
Yes, man. Yes. Thank you so much. I am Jonathan Mouton Official. That's JonathanMouton Official on all social platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. And they can also find me on Spotify or wherever music is streamed at Jonathan Mouton.
That's good stuff. Well, Jonathan, again, thank you so much for your time today, brother. Appreciate, love the story and the perseverance that you're showing, inspiring others. Continued success. Hopefully we'll catch up again real soon.
Thank you for the genuine love and support, Cameron. I appreciate you, and thank you for your time and your platform.
Now, I know several people who have bought Halloween candy twice and eaten through it all, so this is the exact type of thing that many folks don't need right now. Reese's is unleashing a new peanut butter cup that comes with crushed up potato chips inside. A photo of them leaked online last year, so we knew they were coming, or we hoped the rumors were real at least, but now it's official. Now it sounds like they're only doing them as a big cup. You know, that's their king size version that's bigger and thicker than a normal Reese's, and the chips look like generic Ruffles. Now, they should be rolling them out to stores nationwide soon, so look for them in the candy aisle. Now, this isn't the first time they've done something like this. Last year, they started selling a big cup Reese's with crushed up pretzels mixed in. Now, that's fairly close to what's in a Take 5 bar, though, so a peanut butter cup with crushed up potato chips is a little more revolutionary.
from Fort Myers, Florida. She's a member of Team Ariana. We've got Riley Plank with us. First off, Riley, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Goodness, I am so glad to be here. This has been so fun so far, and I can't wait to chat it out. It's going to be a blast.
Now tell us, Riley, the season 21 of The Voice, the battle rounds, getting through that. What was that experience like for you this time around? Had you done anything that prepared you emotionally for that?
Wow. It was just like such a great, fun experience. It was definitely, a bit of a challenge being against a trio for sure. But I think we did what we had to do, and we made it something that was just so fun and that just captured the overall energy of the song. And that was something that was super important to me because I love the song. I audibly gasped when I found out that we had it. It's just a groove. It's a bop. And I think that energy is just so infectious, and it definitely impacted the whole process getting to the actual battle stage. And I just had so much fun, especially with Ariana and Kristen being coaches and helping us and mentoring us. It was just like, as a theater kid, my mind was just blown in so many different ways. And also doing a Christina song, I sang it with my a cappella group in high school. So it was just a fun little throwback for me too. And I just had such a good time. How could you not with that song? I mean, and the people coaching you, I mean, come on.
Now, when did, obviously you've been doing music for a while. When did you first get the idea or the thought of trying out for The Voice in the first place?
Well, I have known that this is what I want to do with my life since I was in like single digits. I was like 6 years old and I was like, oh my gosh, watching Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston just tear apart stages all over the world. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I want to do. I need to do that. That is what my life is going to be. I need to make it happen. And I just was so determined. And I think that is sort of what led me to start auditioning for shows like this. And, you know, it took very many tries. And I had almost lost some steam where it was concerned. And I had just sort of come to the conclusion that if I were to do music, it maybe competition shows were not necessarily the route there. Mm-hmm. Because I had tried so many times and I hadn't gotten to where I wanted to be. And, you know, my mom last year encouraged me to try one more time because during the pandemic, I was having a tough time finding gigs that I felt were safe and for me and others that would be in the audience. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it one more time. Let's go. I'm sitting there talking to myself in the mirror, trying to hype myself up before I send my open call in. And, you know, I'm so grateful that my mom gave me that one last push, because if she didn't, I wouldn't be here at all. And, you know, I'm so grateful for my mom. If you don't know, I talk about it all the time on the show. She's incredible. And, you know, without her by my side, I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing, or at least not in the way I am. So I think that all of those things just sort of led me to this moment. I took the scenic route where that was concerned, but yeah.
Now, the music during the pandemic and folks being tied down, locked in, not being able to play shows, having to be very picky about those. Did the music change for you in that time? The music maybe that you're hearing in your head, maybe the inspiration, did that change for you at the same time?
Yes, actually, I think it definitely did. It gave me an opportunity to release my original music and have time to just like feed so much of my energy into it. And I think that was actually, despite how tragic the pandemic has been, it definitely gave a lot of people, despite not being able to work out in the world, it gave them a lot of time to work inward and to work outward into a computer or into a journal and writing music that way. And it definitely inspired a lot of different tones in the original music that I've written that I have not released yet. But it also gave me the chance to release my song Come Down and So Bad. I did those both during the pandemic, and it was really crazy because I did all of them for the most part, like long distance. And that was a fun and different experience than you sort of expect to do, is like recording vocals in your house to somebody that's over in London. It was a really interesting experience, and it gave the opportunity to have so many different types of energies and different types of people. And it just opened up many doors while others closed, which was strange, but also very wonderful.
That is cool. Now, how do you set goals as you move forward on The Voice? I mean, how do you keep from setting them a little too lofty, keeping a little humility, if you will?
Yeah, I think that especially at this point in the process, when you're competing against fellow teammates, I think that is a very grounding type of thing, because you love these people so much and you love this experience so much. So you're kind of in the middle of two very intense feelings, wanting to move forward, but also wanting to see your friends move forward and wanting to just feed positive energy into all of that. So I think, honestly, something that I have been trying to instill within this whole experience in myself is being present and experiencing it while I have the chance. You know, I think that this experience it's very fast paced, but it's also something that we need to try to grasp every moment while we can, because like you said, it starts getting really, really intense and people start going home and you never know who that could be. And I want to just try to savor every second as much as possible. And I have really been trying to instill that in myself, especially in these team versus team sort of situations. So yeah, I think that's something that really brings you down to earth, is that like, I'm not somebody that really views it as a competition. I view it as an opportunity to share a stage with wonderful people and to do what I'm passionate about in front of tons of people. And hopefully people leave my performances feeling something, or just really enjoying it and being able to say, wow, that was awesome. And yeah, I think that really brings us to the present, knowing that we could be home any second.
That is right. Now, Riley, I want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can keep up with everything you got going social media wise. I'm sure you got behind the scenes footage and stuff like that. Yes. That they can share as well, right?
Yes. On all platforms, I am Music by Riley, R-Y-L-E-I-G-H. And you can just hang out with me there. I've got a Discord that I share often. If you want to hang out on a more personal level, we talk in there. I post tons of behind the scenes stuff and I try to keep up with it as much as possible. I do lives all the time and try to talk to everybody that's decided to follow me along on this journey. And and I'm so excited. Tonight is the night too, by the way, and it's going to be so fun. I love my partner. He's the best. And Music by Riley is where you can find me and check me out.
There you go. Well, Riley, it has been great to get to visit with you today. I wish you continued success, and hopefully we can catch up with you later as the season continues.
Yes, please. Thank you so much, Cameron. I had such a good time. You are so kind.
Now, everyone loves a good would you rather question, so someone did a survey with questions that were only about money. Over 30,000 people were polled, and here are the best ones in how people voted. First off, would you rather win the lottery but lose all your friends? Or lose all your money but find your soulmate? 59% said they'd rather be broke and in love. Number 2, would you rather have a job you hate that pays well, or a job you love with a below average salary? 56% said they'd rather have a job they love. Number 3, would you rather spend $1 million on clothes or $1 million on travel? 88% would rather travel. Number 4, would you rather make $100,000 on Bitcoin or $50,000 in a business that helps the environment? Now, 69% said 50 grand and help the planet. And how about making 100 grand on Bitcoin and saving 20 grand to save the planet? Is that a win-win? Well, number 5, would you rather get $1 million right now or $100,000 a year for 10 years? 71% would rather get 100 grand a year so they wouldn't spend it all. And number 6, would you rather go back in time to fix your biggest money mistake or look into your future to find where you end up? Now, this might have been the best question asked because it was an even
50-50 split.
From Team Legend, we've got Paris Winningham on the line with us today. Actually, he's got his video on. I guess I'll turn my video on. There we go. Hey, Paris, with us today. Paris, good to see you, man.
Man, good to see you, man. Such a blessing to be here. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Now, I want to hear about the journey to The Voice. I mean, you had music in your blood, in your genes. You grew up playing the drums, then went into the Navy, and the Navy spurred you into The Voice. I've got to find, where's the correlation there?
So it's funny. I'd always been, you know, like you said, grew up, you know, in the church, and I actually played the drums before I even knew how to sing. And so, you know, transitioning from there, just, you know, moving into the military, it was church that kind of introduced people into knowing that I could sing. And so I started church services on the ship. And from that point forward, people like, yo, man, you can sing for real. And I'm like, oh, I appreciate it. They're like, yo, man, you need to sing the national anthem for, you know, such. I was like, all right, cool, let's try it. And so I would sing the national anthem for a number of different ceremonies. And from that point forward, I just had a whole lot of friends that were like, yo, man, you should try out for like some of these singing competitions. Like maybe, you know, first they were like American Idol and, you know, all that stuff. And I was like, oh, we'll see what's up, you know? And one day I was sitting at home and I saw that The Voice was doing open call, you know, auditions. So I said, well, heck, why not? I signed up. The closest place that they had was Atlanta. So I drove up to Atlanta and got told no and turned around and came back home. That was like 2015. I say about 2020, I tried out again. Got told no again. That was my first virtual. Wow. And it was funny because when I did that virtual, you can stop and like re-record and listen to yourself and re-record. And I did that like 20 times. And I was like, yo, man, I could do it better. It wasn't until I did it this time that I did it literally one time. And sent it out, and rest is history. Yeah.
Where was the musical inspiration? I mean, obviously you pulled off some Luther Vandross with Here and Now. I mean, you pulled that off. Is that your wheelhouse? Where is your wheelhouse musically?
Oh man. You know, I really love that soul in music. That's really where I am. You know, my roots are gospel. If you haven't caught that by now, my roots are gospel. But I love taking time to incorporate those roots into, you know, some real good soul and R&B. And I just love, you know, mixing and fusing and just, you know, finding my own pocket in that. So most definitely, I kind of miss those old school, you know, songs and those old school, you know, singers, Luther Vandross, Marvin Gaye, Al Green, you know, that they just really pull that soul out of that and feeling out of that, out of the music. I absolutely miss it.
This last couple of years, have you delved more into the music with having some more time to yourself? Has that kind of helped what spurred the new voice turnaround, if you will?
Most definitely. 2020, as it was for, you know, pretty much all of us, was a rough year. It was a rough year. Lost my grandmother in the early part of 2020, last living grandparent. And so that was rough. And I actually ended up preaching her homegoing, which was, you know, it was the hardest sermon I think I've ever preached in my entire life. Moving on, transitioning from there, you know, I had to deal with loss and from my uncle, dealing with so much and so much personal separation to the point where it just really, you know, things kind of, I really got into a real deep depression. I kind of went into a dark hole and, you know, dealt with, you know, depression real bad to the point where, you know, I was, you know, contemplating and attempted suicide. And, you know, it's one of those things that you don't realize how important it is until you are faced with it. And so once I got to that point where I realized, hey, look, man, there's so much more to live for. There's so much to do. You know, why give up on yourself when God hasn't given up on you? And so I made up in my mind. I was never, and I promised God, I said, from that day forward, I will never give up on myself. as long as you keep pushing me and you keep giving me breath in my body, if I keep waking up, I'm gonna keep pushing. And so most definitely, that's kind of been my push. You know, I made up in my mind that, you know, I something's going to give and I'm going to change. And so that's what broke me into, you know, just taking that third chance to, you know, go ahead and try out for The Voice again. And it worked out.
That is cool. Now, working with Coach Legend, I mean, what has that experience taught you firsthand?
First off, that man is amazing. I could try to put it into words, but you know, it's going to be kind of hard, but I'm still attempt to. It's one of those things where I grew up listening to this guy. I remember coming back home from school. I remember, you know, turning on the TV and turning, you know, to, you know, MTV or, you know, BET or, you know, whatever different channel, and seeing that black and white music video and him playing on the piano with that glass of water. So you see how vivid it is. It's like right here. It's like seared into my brain. And hearing we're just ordinary people. And I'm like, man, this dude is amazing. And so, you know, now to work with him and to say that I have the privilege that maybe like 1% of America has ever had to work with the person that you look up to work with a person that has been, you know, just a footnote in your life, you know, when it comes to music, you know, whatever you do, it's just one of those great, you know, privileges. And I love when I sing and I sing in front of him, like he's paying attention to you. Like, you know, for those people that aren't able to see it, you know, I'll give you a small behind the scenes. He leans forward and he like really focuses on you. And you can see, like, he's in your face. He's paying attention to every syllable, every breath you take, every word that comes out of your mouth. It's amazing. And it really, you know, takes it makes you feel like he really cares, which obviously he does. You know, he really does. And so he really cares about you and really cares about your gift and making you the best version of you. And that's what I love.
Now, Paris, I want to make sure and let our listeners know where to keep up with you social media wise, because as the season progresses, they definitely want to be able to vote for you as well. All right, brother?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Well, if you do not have it, please, you need to go get the app today. You need to get it right now as I speak. I need you to pull your phone out and I need you to go ahead and I need you to download the Voice app. You can vote in there and you can look up more information about me and all the other great contestants that we have, because we have some awesome talent here on The Voice this season. You also can look me up on Instagram, Paris_Wynn. That's WINN, Paris_Wynn 37. And then you can also look me up. I got my account, my professional account is on Facebook, Paris A. Winningham on Facebook. So, you know, look me up. You can keep in touch with me. Hit me up. I try to respond to as many of y'all as possible. It's overwhelming. I can't respond to everybody, but I'm truly grateful and thankful for all of the fans and support.
That's awesome. Well, Paris, check it out. Oh, how about that?
Hey, there you go, Doc.
Yeah, there we go. I downloaded one. You talked me into it.
There you go, man.
Well, Paris, thank you for your time today, brother. Hopefully, look forward to more continued success on the season. And, brother, reach out anytime. Love to have you back on.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. You have a blessed day, man.
Do you have that one annoying person at work who constantly interrupts you to ask questions? Well, it turns out they might be the office MVP. A new study found that interrupting your coworkers when they're in the middle of work is actually good for morale. Researchers at the University of Cincinnati found it tends to foster a sense of belonging and makes people feel like an important part of the team. They interviewed more than 100 employees every day for 3 weeks and asked about their sense of belonging, how mentally drained they were, and their overall job satisfaction. They also asked if they'd been interrupted at all that day. And it turned out they were more likely to say they liked their job and felt like a valuable member of the team if they'd been interrupted a lot. Now, two interruptions did make people less productive. They also felt a little more drained and stressed out short term. But eventually, those feelings faded. So the positives outweigh the negatives. always great to have him back on the air. Going to be talking about the new season of The Family Business, season 3 on BET. We've got Ernie Hudson back with us today. And Ernie, always great to visit with you, sir.
Well, thank you so much. It's always great to talk to you. So thank you for inviting me.
The new season of The Family Business, and Ernie, you got a little bit of help on the cast. You got an unbelievable amount of talent coming in as new characters. And does that bring some new excitement into the series as well, sir?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, I've done series where you got, you know, 3 or 4 people, and they're the ones who week after week. But Carl Weber, his books are so broad. I mean, it's so many characters, but really good, good, talented people. And it's just an honor for me to work with Valerie Fadenoy, who plays my wife, and Stan Shaw, and it's just a great cast, and it's fun.
Now, Ernie, tell our listeners what they can expect from the new season, maybe a few twists that we might not have seen coming in early on, if you will.
Yeah, this third season is full of surprises. You know, the family is threatened in a different way, not just physically, but it's a real it internally within the family. Also, for the first time, they're facing bankruptcy, and so there's a lot going on, and how they work through it is entertaining and fun, and I'm just having a ball with it.
Now, Ernie, you've been in the business, in the industry, for a couple of years, so you've seen a lot of things happen, but the way COVID affected and the pandemic affected shooting and series, I mean, did you ever expect to see anything like that have an effect on the industry like it did?
No, I honestly couldn't have imagined, as you know, now almost 2 years later, I think we're all going, it's just changed everything. The industry shut down. I never thought that would be possible. I have been working. I'm working now on a film, but I shot a film in the Cayman Islands with Nicolas Cage, and we had to quarantine even after being vaccinated. We had to quarantine for 14 days and test. It's changed everything. And I know we'll get through this, but it's been a challenge.
And Ernie, what was it like coming back on set the first time after not being on a set for an extended period of time I'm sure for you, the first time in your career, right?
No, the first time I believe that I went back to Family Business, because we shut down mid-season and then we picked back up. And we were put in a bubble, which meant the entire crew, cast, everyone was locked in. We couldn't go outside to do anything, and we were only able to come to the set, and before you went to the set you were tested. It was pretty, but we're locked down. I mean, for the crew, and for a couple of months, they really couldn't go home to their families or anything. So but that's what it took to, now, of course, it's eased up a bit. And, but it's still a serious threat. But I'm happy that we're finding ways to work around it. We did Ghostbusters almost 2 years ago. It was meant to come out a year ago. And then the theaters weren't open, so... It's finally, it's going to premiere this coming, in a month, I think, in November 19th, I think is when it premieres. But it's taken a long time, and the industry hasn't figured it out yet. There's a lot of streaming, and a lot of us stayed home and watched a lot of, movies and television. But I think that we go through things, it forces us to get better, and out of this, I think something better will come.
That's right. And again, BET Plus, you can find The Family Business seasons 1 and 2, and also the current episodes of season 3. And Ernie, always want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can keep up with everything you've got going social media wise as well, my friend.
Yeah, it's Ernie Hudson Official on Twitter and Instagram and all the different ones. I'm, you know, my son helps with it. I'm totally lost. So, it, but do you, yeah, Ernie Hudson Official, you'll find me all over.
There you go. Well, Ernie, it is always good to visit with you, sir. I appreciate you taking some time, and hope you have a great rest of your week, sir.
Thank you. You too. And thank you for taking the time. Take care.
Now, this right here is how you become a legend. Mel Magazine just did a big profile on a guy in California who found a loophole in an amusement park's annual membership and used it to get free meals every day. His name is Dylan and he's 33 now, but back in 2014, he landed an internship at an engineering firm in Santa Clarita, California, where Six Flags Magic Mountain is. So he looked into an annual pass and found a crazy promo they were running for food. For a one-time fee of $150, he could get two free meals every time he went to the park, and it was unlimited, so he could do it every single day. Now, obviously, an average person would never do that, but Dylan's office was 5 minutes from the park, so he paid the $150 and took full advantage. The only downside was he had to eat carnival food every day, so it wasn't healthy. When he first signed up, his only choices were a burger and fries, pizza and breadsticks, or a lamb sandwich that wasn't any good. But it was free food and he was just out of college, so he went twice a day, every day, for lunch and dinner. And he did that for an entire year, but it didn't stop there. He kept re-upping his membership and he's continued to do it for the last 7 years. Now, he stopped going every day, but he still goes a lot. He eventually scaled back and only went 3 or 4 times a week, usually for lunch. Now, they eventually added more menu options, so it got even better. Now, they do a pretty good steak sandwich, plus seasonal items like a Thanksgiving turkey dog topped with cranberry sauce and stuffing. A few are even somewhat healthy, like a vegan-friendly black bean burger. But here's the craziest part. Finding the loophole has saved him an insane amount of money. For the first year, he says he never bought groceries, and because of all those free lunches and dinners, he's managed to pay down his student loans, get married, and buy a house. Now, the website The Takeout picked up the story and said Six Flags must have caught on because they couldn't find the deal on their website anymore. But they just didn't look hard enough because it's still available. You have to buy an annual pass for $95 plus a dining pass add-on for another $110. So for just over $200 a year, anyone can do it. Now, Dylan says he eventually convinced some friends to join him, but he's married now, so he doesn't go as much. Partly because his wife doesn't like roller coasters. All right, guys, promised you another very special guest. Got the My Goods second annual Halloween Bingo Bash to talk about. And we've got the one and only Macy Gray with us today. And first off, Macy, it's a privilege to have the chance to visit with you.
Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
I want to know how the Halloween and the Bingo Bash all married together. Macy, whose idea was that?
It was during COVID. Well, it was still in COVID, but it was like in the thick of COVID. We started My Good in July 2020, and that was during the whole stay at home. Nobody could go anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And so My Good is a foundation. We support families who have lost loved ones due to police violence, mm-hmm. right? So it's not an anti-police foundation at all. We just, if your family member is a victim of police brutality, or whatever the situation is, regardless of what happens between, you know, you have a family who have loved ones, have lost a loved one, regardless of what happens, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when we come in and we help with mental health services, a lot of funeral costs, stuff like that. So anyway, we started My Good back July 2020, and then, you know, the closest big holiday to July is Halloween, and we wanted to have a fundraiser, and so we came up with this idea to do a fundraiser on Zoom, and then we were like, how can we make it fun, and then there was a lot of like bingo going on online at the time. People playing bingo virtually because of COVID, and so that was it. That's my whole bingo story. Bingo backstory.
But now,
that's where it came from.
Macy, you talk about the My Good Foundation, and how blown away are you by the response of the folks that you've been able to help? I mean, I know that you guys have helped folks with expenses of funeral expenses, helping folks with housing, and for you to be able to do that and to look back at where you started from, I mean, what does that mean to you personally?
It means the world, you know, to be able to give and you know, it's, that's a situation that you can't fix because it's so emotional and harsh, harsh emotionally, and it's also a political issue, so it's a lot to get into, but it's a good thing to be able to give, you know. People don't realize how much this world, definitely this country, depends on philanthropy, you know. Most of your hospitals, your schools, your churches, all that, any museum you go to, that's all donations. So it's just important that people continue to give because we really can't survive without it, you know.
The Halloween Bingo Bash. Tell our listeners what they can expect from the Zoom party that's coming up this Friday.
All right. So, what we do, we have performances by Ziggy Marley, Corey Henry. I'm going to perform. And we have a magician. We have Wanda Sykes is performing. And then we have people like cameos, like people just get on and speak and give everybody a shout out like that. And then the whole time in between performances, we're playing bingo. Like someone's going to win like crazy money playing bingo. And then, crazy prizes. So you go on to the site, you buy bingo cards, right? And that gives you the link to the show, which is it's not that long. It's like 90 minutes this year. And then, like, between performances, we play bingo. And if you win, you get, like, these really super cool prizes.
That's cool. And the event gets underway at 5:30 Pacific this Friday. That's 7:30 local time. And Macy, I want to make sure and let folks know where to get more information about the show, get registered, pick up those bingo cards as well.
Yeah, you go to mygood.org, and they're not expensive. It's meant to just let everybody have a good time. It's at home, so we can keep being safe, and that's it. It's a good time.
That's right. Again, My Good's second annual Halloween Bingo Bash. Macy, it has been great to visit with you today. I want to make sure and let our listeners know where to keep up with everything you've got going social media-wise as well, my friend.
Yes, so I'm at Macy Gray on Instagram, and then on Twitter it's Macy Gray Life. I'm not a big Twitter girl, but I do jump on my Instagram, you know, from time to time. And then we have a really amazing record album coming out February 4th that I would love for everybody to check out. So there's two singles out now called Thinking of You. And there's a song called The Disco Song that you're going to love. And plug, I really think you guys should be playing it over and over and over again. And that's it.
That's awesome. Well, again, Macy, it is great to visit with you today. And I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, you too. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 141st episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, a question, maybe anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook, all at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, shirts, mugs, tumblers, stickers, and much more at gqwithcam.com/shop. And if you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com.
Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday.